Once again, I'm very thankful to be with you this morning and welcome here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The subject that was placed upon my heart this week, and once again, I have to make this statement that it basically is called the honoring the Father. And there's no way that a person can do it justice. There's no way that a person could say enough or get into the in depth of it enough to be able to honor the Father. To the Father. And I believe it's the only way that the Father's ever been appeased, reverenced, adored the way that He should be, is through His beloved Son. But regardless, that we see in the scriptures that the Lord Jesus told us and to look to Him and to honor Him in all of our life and in our ways. And I'd like to go in that direction. It's basically a simple message this morning. A simple message is hope. I'm hoping to and praying that would come forth. And so. The Son of God came representing His Father in all things and points of creation. And we want to see where the Scriptures declare and tell us this as well. Yet the Son Jesus told us we must reverence the Father. He came pointing the way to the Father. Reason I wanted to bring this forth this morning is that what I'm sad to say is that there are those that even want to say that there is no Father, or Jesus is His own, or whatever the matter, and there are even versions of the Bible that take the Father out and manipulate that for man's own self-serving reasons. And that is true. And so, the best witness of who the Father is through the Scriptures, the truth in the Scriptures, where He pointed the way to the Father, even telling us. People wonder even how. What do they call the Father? What did Jesus call Him? He called Him Father. And he told us, your Father. He says, your Father which art in heaven. And our Father which art in heaven. And so once again, I hope this will be a simplistic message. But I do ask an interest in your prayers. In 3 Nephi, in the 6th chapter, 11th verse, also Matthew, the 6th chapter, in the 33rd verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's so much to be said how foundationally important and powerful that is. If we seek Him and His righteousness is the barometer in our life, that level, that benchmark of right and of wrong that guides people throughout this earth, if we will but listen to it. And if we're seeking His righteousness, we're also seeking to bring our will in accord with His. And proclaiming His sovereignty and His direction and His commandments in our life that we must abide by, each and every one of us. In John, the 3rd chapter, in the 16th verse, when I was about 8 years old, I went to the hospital. And I was there visiting one of our relatives, and I don't remember just who it was. Maybe it was Grandma, I'm not sure. But there was an older minister that was there, and he said, he had told me then at that time, he says, if you forget, if your memory only brings back to your mind brings back to your memory one verse, this is the one, John 3:16, and I'm quoting through 18, of course. For God so loved the world, God the Father so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God the Father sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And Jesus said, I've not come to call the righteous to judgment, but sinners to repentance. We're all called unto repentance and maintain that repentance. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In 1 John 4, 14 through 16, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him. Now, starting to get into the situation and the power and the purpose of the witness, even of the Holy Spirit, which does the convicting. For us to have knowledge is one thing. The Spirit is what does the convicting. If we have the Spirit, we can also walk in the Spirit, live by it, and decide by it, be convicted by it. That's what's important to all of us. It helps keep us upon that path of righteousness. When we reject His Spirit and His indwelling, then all sorts of other things occur. We act according to our own wills and natures that we were talking about in Sunday school yet this morning, in the Book of Mormon. Those that had left in that third and fourth generation, they were denying the Spirit, and they were denying His commandments. They said that there was even churches popped up that denied the Christ and His divinity. Whoso confessed that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And we the perfect representation of the love of God, the love of the Father, is Jesus Christ. That representation. The representation of the fruit on the tree. The love of God. This is through Jesus Christ. And that was also expressed. The greatest love toward us was his sacrifice. Toward us, that we may have that hope of eternal salvation. And he didn't come once again to save us in our sins, but save us from our sins. We need to recognize those things. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love, dwelling in God. That's the thing we're all trying to learn about all the time. All in each time that we meet, we're learning how to dwell with God. You know, one brother said that he's trying to shape and mold us here a type of people that he wants to live with for eternity. But no matter what, you know, it was the sacrifice and the plan of redemption, or the redeeming of his children that needed to occur. You know, that plan, that was part of his eternal plan, that he would die for our sins. That the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Yet do we find that the Son was obedient to the Father in all things. And he took upon him the form of a servant. Scripture comes to mind. So he took upon him the form of a servant. And he was obedient unto the death of the cross. As he talks about in John the 15th chapter, to his disciples of that time, and he tells us too, he says, I call you therefore not servants, but I call you friends. And Abraham was called the friend of God. But, we say we are servants. Why do we say that? Because we chose that, didn't we? We choose to serve him. We choose to serve a risen Savior and the Father that sent him. I believe that the reason that he in the garden, when he said, Father, that this cup would pass from me, but nevertheless not my will but thine be done, I believe that he expressed that because it was the expression of his humanity, because he came in flesh and he was going to suffer. He was the Son of God and he came from the realms of glory to come to earth in flesh, but that was real pain he suffered. He suffered real pain. And I believe that he even needed to be fortified to take that much pain beyond what many humans may be able to tolerate. But he needed to suffer it. And it was real. Even though he be the Son of God and the heir of all, and had right place on the majesty of the Father. But it was real pain. No mistake about it. But dwelling with God and His Spirit. In John 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we." Now this is a favorite scripture of mine. I know you have made yours as well. And I it was so neat. We will come to Him and make our abode with Him. We were talking about the dwelling of God within us. But we will make an abode is a habitation. It's a home. We will make our abode with Him. But we must love Him. And we must keep His words. And if we keep His words, then the Spirit is going to move. Now we can move out of the hand of His blessing and the moving of His Spirit by the things that occur by our choice. And that's with all of us. By choice, we can move out of His hand of blessing because of not keeping His commandments. In Matthew, in the 10th chapter, verses 38 through 40. "And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." This is a neat scripture. You know, it doesn't mean that you take up an object and you put it on. Like some will wear the symbol of a cross. And be that as it may, it talks about some of the trials in life. If we're not willing to endure those things, if we're not willing to endure, sometimes it's a hard thing. When you're called a Christian, you're called to make some very difficult decisions, and we're called to sometimes it's even to where we have to disassociate ourselves with those. There are those of the wicked, and there are those that out in the world that may seem like they will treat you nicely or smile at you and things like that, but we've got to be careful. The devil will do that. If he can appear nigh unto us an angel of light, then he's able to deceive, right? They say he was a very beautiful angel. And how could he deceive unless he wasn't? If he came in horns and tail, what would you do? You would certainly flee, wouldn't you? It'd be a red flag right now. But he's a master deceiver and he's a liar. The father of it. That's why God hates lying. That's why the Book of Mormon said liars were punished. It's an untruth. And because the devil is the father of lies. And he delights in them. That's how he gets his way. And you know, that's what I'll say. And so anyway, he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. We're getting into some of the mechanics of honoring the Father by the things that he's declared that we must live by. Now we can make the choice to retain the things that we would like to do. We can do that if we want to. But we most certainly have to answer for it. But he that findeth his life shall lose it. Many of us are good at trying to find our... there are people that build great fortunes. There are people that have houses in many countries. I only need one place to hang my hat. I don't need, you know, it's, I guess, a sad thing. So I tell people, kind of a sad thing when I think that it's neat when I can get a new tool. It just means more work. Isn't that sad? You know? I got a pair of logging tongs the other day so I could drag logs out of the wood, some old ones from probably the 1800s. And I'll tell you right now, I don't think I can break them on my tractor. I don't think so. They got a web on them that's unimaginable. We'll find out. We're going to put them to the test. But isn't that sad that, you know, that you're satisfied with things that only mean a little more work? But you know something? The scriptures declare it's the hard things, it's work, it's especially perseverance and endurance in the gospel to the things that are right, that are going to that build spiritual maturity and strength. But they come by hard things and hard decisions. And sometimes, you know, we don't like it, and we know that we suffer because of it. But Hebrews says that that if we endure it, you know, the chastening of the Father, that it bringeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness. And that's pleasing to the Father and honoring the Father. He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he's talking to his disciples. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. In other words, they're receiving even God's people, listening to our brothers and sisters. And is what he's talking about the disciples, and they're going out and to teach and lead and to edify. And they were going to perform miracles and blessings and healings, if you will, in the name of Christ. But he that receiveth me receiveth my Father. The Son he came representing the Father in all things. And that is precious to know. In 3 Nephi 12 and 20-25, behold, I have given unto you my gospel. And this is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. He was his representative, and he was his express image, as talks about in Colossians. I think we may have that scripture coming up. His express image. And... but I believe that if we look through, in my estimation, now all the scriptures are precious, don't get me wrong. But in the book of John, we find a very close relationship between the Father and Son. The only begotten of the Father and His Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. And what I think it's so neat about Jesus Christ, too, is that He shared His Father with us. You know, what I mean is that He taught us about His Father, and He told us to come unto the Father. He told us about praying unto His Father, and He called our Father. He says, after this manner pray thee, our Father which art in heaven. This is your Father, too. And like I said, it saddens me when the world wants to push Him away, masquerade Him, or say that He isn't there, or He doesn't exist, or anything like that. Because of that very beloved Father, He sent His beloved Son for us. Let's take a look, if you will, over into Colossians, as I said, was coming in the first chapter. Colossians in the first chapter. I'd like to read verses 12 through 19. Now, we'll be coming back here a little bit later on. I'm starting a little later than where I will be coming back to. giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's made us meet. He's made us enough. He's made us sufficient. And we're going to find out certainly why. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And for by him were all things created. This is through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Father. That are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He was with the Father from the very beginning. We look in the book of Genesis, let us make man in our image. And he is the head of the body, of the church, who is the beginning from the first, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. The resurrection did occur. It did occur to all those it was designed to take place with, but the first to rise was Jesus Christ, because he is the power of the resurrection. That's why he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. It was through Jesus Christ. And so that's why he says he was the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And then it talks about, as we read in the explanation in the Book of Mormon, about all those from Adam to Christ. It talks about that there was a resurrection. As the book talks about in the Book of John, he says, some those that hear shall live. There were some that would not. But there was a resurrection. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. Now that's a very, we say it may be a complex thing, that in him all the fullness dwell. And, you know, I think it's, as we're going to read in Scripture, I probably shouldn't give it away, other than Jesus said, Father, I know that you're with me. And he's with him to talk to him and to encourage him and to deliver the things that he wanted told and delivered as he set up his church and his officers and his gospel. But the Father was with him. But he represented the Father. It's such that there are things that I know that in my earlier days, my father and I used to work together here and there in the construction business. And not as a this big, huge contractor thing, but we built a few houses together and some garages, enough that taught me a lot. And there are things that I know, and my dad had bad health here and there, and especially his bad back. And I know there are times I needed to go and take, he said, I need you to go and take care of this. I need you to handle it. And this is the way I want it done. But I need you to go take care of it because I can't. And so I needed to go and to be, the word is obedient. I needed to go and to be obedient to what he had told me needed to be done. And to fulfill that so it would come out the way according to his design and plan. Because we'll also read in the scriptures that the gospel that was delivered unto the world was the Father's gospel. Delivered through the Son, in whom was vested with all the power and authority to accomplish all that need be until all things shall be subdued, even judgment, until time shall be no more. And then all should be laid back to the foot of the Father, that all may be in all. It pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. But I'd like to go on just a hair. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be in things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh to death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Alienated by a wicked mind of works. He paid for the avenue also of repentance. That we may give up the things that are contained in the world that bring spiritual death, that can bring temporal death too, if we don't listen to them. There are many things that are contained in the gospel of Christ that if we don't listen to them, they can even bring us temporal death because of departing from his spirit. There are times that, you know, there are many times you and I won't even know or we didn't see, or maybe sometime the Lord may allow us to, where he was there and saved you. We ask him to physically to save us and to heal us when we're asked to administer. That's a physical thing, isn't it? Through spiritual means. To save us from physical problem. Or sometimes it's and can also transcend to the spiritual. But if we don't obey the words of the gospel, it can even cause, number one, a temporal death or suffering, but spiritual as well and eternal. In John 5:23, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death to life. To believe on him that sent him, the name of Jesus Christ, the gospel that was delivered, his way, his path, his commandments, to obey those things that we may have eternal life. You know? And it's a blessing that, you know, he's given us our brothers and sisters and the body of Christ, that they would be there for us to help us as well, and to encourage us, and to and sometimes it's to put an arm around us and say, you know, I really either wouldn't have done this or said that or whatever, lovingly, you know, to the side. And we thank God for our brothers and sisters, even as well. It says to edify one another in love. And that's a blessing. And that's God's gift to us, our brothers and sisters, even as well. He that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. Colossians, first chapter, 9 and 10. This is the other two, basically, that I wanted to come back to in the book of Colossians. And because I'd started in 12 last time. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I think that's a neat thing. Once I believe that couples with the abode of God, doesn't it? When the Spirit is moving in our life, spiritual wisdom. I know I need it. I do some real silly things here and there. I need all of what I can get. I need to be obedient, you know? I need to behave myself. We say that the kids are the ones that we need to say, you need to behave yourself. No, we need to teach one another. More adults need to be told that than anything. And you're looking at one of them. I need to behave myself. You know, I got to watch the things that I do and that I say. And also, I think that I'm probably doubly responsible. I'm supposed to be an example. And as Paul told Timothy, I'm supposed to be an ensample to the flock. They must see it. I better be living it, or I'm in trouble. But that we may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. We would be fruitful in every good work. But once again, this comes with, it's coupled with that wisdom, spiritual understanding, coupling with the abode of God, that we might be in a condition that His Spirit is moving upon us. And it's like that chiasm. It builds, doesn't it? Because we are submissive and humbled and in humility, that Holy Spirit can move. And that we may receive those gifts, such as wisdom, spiritual understanding, and that we may be fruitful. It builds. The reverse is also true, isn't it? It goes the other direction. The Scriptures, we see these, how it's written in chiasms. How it builds to the crescendo and goes back the other way. That we will not have every good work if we don't have that spiritual, that wisdom and spiritual understanding, because we're not in humility and haven't repented or haven't made ourselves that the Spirit can move upon us. It went the other way, didn't it? In John 8 and 29, and he that sent me is with me. This was how I described him a little earlier, and I know you've seen these before. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do those things that please him. This is Jesus Christ talking. He said that he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do those things that please him. And if he can say that, we certainly must say that, shouldn't we? And we want that he is with us, moving upon us, if you will. We have received that Spirit entering in, by the way, but that we may be moved upon with direction by his Spirit within the abode of God. And to that we would desire to do those things that please him. I believe this, when he was set on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of true justice and holiness, had to depart from the Son because it needed to be. Remember, he said he sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And so he needed to depart at that time, that very crucial time, that the Son could die. It needed to be the Son's sacrifice. I believe that's why he said at that time, the last exclamation or of his humanity, that it was very crucial. The Father needed to leave the Son to let the Son die. And that in itself, it was, I'm sure, very necessary. There was a movie out on the crucifixion, and it showed a tear when he said that hit the ground, as if it was the of the Father. Of course, then again, all the thundering, the lightning, and everything else, and the darkness took place after that time. But I believe that also pleased the Father at that time, even though it was a... He said, the God of nature suffers, in the Book of Mormon. Ephesians in the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation where you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. And we are called through Jesus Christ. The high calling of being a Christian, most importantly. And you know, the vocation in the gospel of the things that when we profess to be a Christian, and we are in His pasture, and we're also in His family with our brothers and sisters, and with lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And you know, even at our workplaces, do they know who has called you and who you serve and who you proclaim? Do we step out of character in our workplace because of others that may perform a different way or say different things? Are we even worthy of that sector of vocation, if you will? We're not to masquerade when we're there, are we? We're to be, you know, there or to the grocery store or wherever else. We're always in the mission field. And we're supposed to exhibit lowliness and meekness. His disciples were told, "Go ye therefore and be wise as serpents, yet harmless as doves." If Jesus took children up into His lap and He said, "For of such is the kingdom of God," what is our attitude to be? And with the things that are going on in our world, it seems to be harder and harder. Yet we're called to pray for our enemies and those that despitefully use us when we see things go on in the news and people that are a genocide toward those that want to serve the Lord in the name of Christ. And we certainly need to pray for them and that their soul could be touched somehow. And pray against that evil that is promoting that in this world. There is evil that is promoting these people to do that kind of wickedness, that father of lies. Lord, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what is of the Lord. The spirit of contention, Jesus said, is not of Me. The bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. And we're in the body of Christ here today, our brothers and sisters, to lift one another up and encourage one another as it is called today. And we need to stand with one another. And I believe it's just like when they said at the very beginning of this country, when they had signed the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, all those signatures on there. And after it was all done, I'm going to speculate it was Benjamin Franklin, but I'd have to take a look it up. And he said, "Assuredly, as we have done this, we've pledged our lives and our fortunes, we had assuredly better hang together. Because if we don't hang together, we most certainly will hang separately." And that's truth about the body of Christ when we depart to do our own thing, our own way. Satan will certainly hang each one separately. Divide and conquer is his business. Matthew 10, 32-38. Please, let's turn with there, if you will, with me. Matthew 10, 32-38. "Whoso therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Whoso shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think that I am not come to send peace upon the earth. I have come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set man against a variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And if a man foes shall be of his own household, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not of worthy of me, but he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And once again, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. say it's going to be challenging. We must, the main thing that he's trying to get across is we must love him first. As I said in the very beginning of the message, that to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If we love him and we love his gospel and we love his son, we will love. He does command us to love our mother and our father. He's just trying to set precedent here. And at that time, in that community, and he was proclaiming himself to be the Son of God, to forgive sins. And that was an abomination to that community at that time. And so as you're talking about the variance, you know, the sword I think he's talking about, I was thinking about that this morning. The Word of God. But also talking about the sword being able to be a division. Good and bad. Light and dark. Right and wrong. And Jesus was a very representation of the Word of God. He was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And this would set at variance. Many were separated for the reasons of the Word of God to follow after the only begotten Son of the Father. You know, it's no different today if we proclaim the name of Christ and the way of righteousness and the gospel in our lives. I'm going to tell you right now, there are people that we may not associate with because of the things that they're professing or wanting to pull you away from the way of Christ. That's going to happen. And there are definitely people in this world that you know, we pray for their soul, we wouldn't meet with them. We're the truth. The unrighteous. Before men that in our lives is not to be seen of our glory. If here. Those means making their way without him, making their faith, having their aspirations without his spirit, without his wisdom, without his direction, their life, and they so-called in this world for this piece of time. As one phrase, one man put it, he says, "We live, we die." We may live and we may die, but we will have to for the created us, as the Book of Mormon says. They breathe into our nostrils. In Hebrews 11, 1 and 6, verse 1, 6, that parade, if we're talking about, we're not supposed to do it for parade, but the things that we do in our life, the good works, are evidence. It's evidence of the faith. Of the abode of God that moves. I'm going to read from chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews. Faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You don't see what's going on inside here, but you see what I may do with it. You may see the decisions that I make, the life that I live. Hopefully that's the case. Verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We're diligently seeking Him today, you and I together. We're diligently seeking Him. We are seeking to please the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. We're meeting, not forsaking the meeting of our assembling of ourselves together, as it also talks about in Hebrews, I believe the 13th chapter. We're not forsaking the assembling ourselves together, but edifying one another, encouraging one another, leading one another. And we're seeking to please Him by that faithfulness, meeting in the body of Christ. This is our evidence. You're exhibiting evidence today. When we step out of here and we perform the words of the gospel, evidence. We'd be lacking some evidence if we didn't show, but for whatever, if we weren't exhibiting good reason. There are those that are not here for maybe good reasons, health, whatever. But if we have the opportunity, we should always meet with those of like faith. It is God that works, God that strengthens, and God that convicts in meeting in the body of Christ. In Moroni 7:4, "And now, my brethren, I judge these things of you because of your peaceable walk with the children of men. For I remember the word of God, which saith, by their works ye shall know them. If their works be good, then they are good also." And my comment is, our time in this life is to bring honor and glory to the Father by honoring His Son. He has sent. And living the gospel, I put in bold words for good reason, the Father and the Son, the gospel they have given us in all of our ways, to bring honor to the Father in our life. I'll tell you once again, there's no manner of words, no matter of multitude of words or whatever that I can tell you or that I can try to describe today that could bring the type of honor to the Father that is necessary. But Jesus did. I thank you for your love and for your prayers and for meeting today.